We celebrate you. Welcome to Lofty Heights Christian Center, a ministry that exists to raise kingdom influencers. As a church, we emphasize three things: the Word, the integrity of it and its ability to transform, the Holy Spirit, His power and demonstration of the same, and love. Love for God, for yourself, and for others. You are about to experience God's undiluted Word from God's servant. Get ready for a transformation.
Okay, so I understand my assignment for this weekend is impartation of grace. Impartation of grace. I also understand the fact that I am here to announce a change of seasons in someone's life. You know, it's interesting. You are celebrating your 5th anniversary. And so I was in Toronto some few weeks back, and there was this gentleman who flew in from the UK, a pastor and businessman, and he was sharing a testimony about the message that I preached some 24 years ago. And this was someone who was making a lot of money in Nigeria. And then he said everything just unraveled. Within 3 months, everything was gone. In Nigerian currency, he was making ₦1 billion a month. And then in 3 months, everything crashed and he was deeply in debt. He said it was so bad, he would look at himself and wonder, is this me? Am I the one who's become like this? He contemplated suicide. And he said it was this message that God used. It's titled, I Am More Than This. Right? He said it was that message that God used to pull him up. And he's bounced back powerfully. He's doing very well in business. He's doing very well as a pastor. And he said he wanted to share that testimony with me. Because any challenge he has in business, he says all he has to do is to listen to that message. He has it on his iPad, has it on his phone. He listens to it almost every day. Says if he has any challenge, once he's listening to the message, he says the answer will come to him. The solution would come to him. I say, oh, wow. So I was sharing that testimony in our church in Daystar some 2 weeks, 2 Sundays ago. And I referred to it, and gratefully, our guys were able to pull it up and put it on the website for the conference we had last weekend, our Excellence in Leadership Conference. So the message is there, excellentleaders.org/downloads, excellentleaders.org/download. So in the course of the week, you know, after I mentioned the message at our church, one of our church members sent a text message to me and said, thank you for mentioning that message during your sermon. I had never listened to it before. I just listened to it, he said, and I was having goosebumps while listening to it. I thought, okay, wait. I preached this thing more than 20 years ago. I have an idea, you know. I remembered, I had an idea what I said there, because it was motivated by something. It was motivated because things were not looking like the vision God showed me. I would drive into the premises where our church was located, and I would shake my head, and I would speak out in the car. This is not me. I am more than this. Because the premises, everything was run down. Wasn't looking like it, and I was clear about the vision that God showed me ahead for the church. So that message, I used it. Our church members thought I was preaching to them. I was preaching to myself. I am more than this. Of course, the message was prophetic, was so inspired. So I decided to listen to it again anyway. I was driving the car. And when I was hearing the prophecies that came, I was shouting. I preached the message some 24 years ago. I was shouting in the car, wow, wow, oh my God, wow. At some point, tears welled up in my eyes. When I realized that we are living in the reality of the prophecies that I spoke out, that prophecies that did not, we were just a few hundred. And I was saying, you know what? As I'm preaching this, I'm not preaching only to you guys here. I'm seeing 10,000. I'm preaching to 10,000 people. I'm preaching to 20,000. I'm preaching to 30,000 people. And we were not 500. And I just read, oh my God, we're living in the reality of it now. And as I sat there, I remembered that as we approached the 5th anniversary for our church, then my wife and I went on vacation to Dubai for the first time. And it was while we were there that I was asking the Lord, so what should we expect for our 6th year? So I went into my Bible, looked at the concordance, and I was checking everywhere 6th year appeared in the Bible. And I got to Leviticus 25. And God spoke through Moses to Israel and said, the 7th year shall be for you the year of rest. Oh, I said, thank you, Jesus. And you know, the scripture came alive for me, so I could, it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. The 7th year shall be a year of rest. And in that year, you shall neither sow nor reap. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The 7th year shall be the year of rest. Then I said, oh, by the way, Lord, I wasn't asking you about the 7th year. I was asking for the 6th year. And the answer was right there, or is right there in the passage. He said, and if you ask, you know, what shall we eat and what shall we drink, since we shall neither sow nor reap? He said, in the 6th year, I will give you the harvest of 3 years. And it just went boom, my spirit. I'll give you the harvest. He said, it will last you through the 6th year and the 7th year and the 8th year, so that when you begin to plant again, then you will get a new harvest. I said, Lord, what does that mean? What does that mean, the harvest of 3 years? What does that mean for us? The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to generate momentum for you during the 6th year. It will last you for 3 straight years. That will go. I said, thank you, Jesus. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Then he said, as soon as you get home, fix a date for starting 2 services. Now, it had to take a divine instruction because, yes, we were walking towards the grove. I was waiting for the church to be packed out, right, with people standing, and then we would break 2 services. But now the Holy Spirit said it wasn't about that, that as soon as I got home, the first meeting I would have with the pastors, we should pick a date. This was August of year 2000. When we got back, September, we had the meeting, and we fixed the date for October 15. We broke 2 services, and then, boom, the momentum that he spoke about happened. In 6 weeks, we packed out the 2 services. I said, oh my God, where did they come from? Where did the people come from? So we waited, and then we had to fix a 3rd service, right? And we broke 3 services, and in 6 weeks, all 3 services were packed out. So we had to break the 4th service, right? So we went from running 1 service to running 4 services in 10 months. Honestly, it was exactly as the Holy Spirit said it. It was that momentum. 30 minutes into a service, outside there would be a line from the front to the back of the building, right? People waiting to come for the next service. So we actually had no break time between the two. Once we closed the service, the praise team would come up, start the 2nd service while people were filing out through 1 door, and people would be filing in through the other door. And then eventually we started service number 5. Psalm 102 verse 13 says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. I came to announce for someone a new season. There is nothing as difficult as trying to make something to happen outside of its season. Very difficult. Very difficult. But when it is season, then you actually don't need to do anything that is extra. Like that, things just happen. The flowers blossom, right? The shoots come out, the flowers blossom, and then with time the fruits come out, and then the fruits ripen because it is season. You must remember it is God that creates the seasons. And it is God that changes the seasons. And I'm here to say to someone, this is a change of seasons. Amen. I asked the Lord to make this day to count in eternity. Amen. That's a prayer for alignment. So 50 years from now, someone will be referring to this. In fact, if Jesus tarries after we have gone, right, left this planet, this day will still be speaking, yes, counting in somebody's life. Yes. I'm trying to describe to the churches he founded, right? They were just letters to the churches he founded. But they were so in alignment with eternity, so in alignment with the mind of God, that we're reading those letters till today. It's over 2,000 years, and Paul is still speaking. That's the kind of alignment I asked about today. That 10 years from now, someone will be referring to today. 20 years from now, someone will be referring to today. I just shared with you a testimony of a prophetic message I delivered 24 years ago, and it is still speaking. And I have to say to our church members, look, if you joined this time in the last 15 years, make sure you go listen to that message. So you plug into the prophecy, because there are some parts of it that have not been fulfilled yet. Just a little, and we're right on the edge of them. So you can catch up with us on that. So I want you to be sensitive, because I'm going to be brief, like I said. Three things the Holy Spirit said I should say to us. Based on the verse of scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. This is the festival of grace. This is the festival of grace. I was speaking to my brother just some hours before I left Atlanta, and I know when I get back, I'll tell him, God gave you good son and daughter, right? They are representing you well. Amen. And I'm grateful for the grace of God on his life. When I grow up, I'll be able to preach like him. First Corinthians 15:10, New King James Version. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. If you give this a title to me, don't waste grace. Don't waste grace. So three things I said. Number one, don't place labor before grace. Don't place labor before grace. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored. So there is grace, there is labor. But you don't put the labor before the grace. Don't work hard without God's help. I find an interesting story in 1 Samuel 9. A man named Kish was missing his donkeys, and he sent his son, Saul, and a servant to go look for the donkeys. I am amazed at how much effort Saul and the servant invested in searching for those donkeys in 1 Samuel 9. Because the Bible says that they went through the land of Ephraim, they went through the land of Shalim, okay, that's it. So they went through the mountains of Ephraim, went through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then they passed through the land of Benjamin, and they were not there. That's effort. And it was when then they came to the land of Zuf, right? Exactly. And then that was when Saul said, you know what? It is donkeys, missing donkeys that we're looking for. By now, I think they are close to declaring us missing too. So let's go back home. The servant said, before we go home, sir, there is a man of God in this city. Whatever he says comes to pass. Let's go to the man of God. Long and short of it, they went to the man of God, Samuel the prophet, and everything changed from there. Everything changed for Samuel from verse 1. God has spoken to Samuel. Samuel anointed Saul and said, God has appointed you captain over his people. And then told him some signs will happen today. That's how Saul became king. The question, why not go to the prophet first? Why go through all that trouble? And I made that point last night. We made that point last night from the life of Jacob. How he was wrestling with God all through the night, lost his hip joint, and was still wrestling until God said, I'm going. Then he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then everything changed from there. So we said, why bring up, this is where your strengths, your talents trick you. Why work everything up in your head? Why create all those schemes and manipulations and plans before you pray? Why not bring the prayer up first? They would have saved themselves all that stress of going through the mountains of Ephraim and the land of Shalim and the land of Shalisha and all of that. They would have saved themselves all that trouble if they went to the prophet first. In 1 Kings 4, a widow did it the other way. A widow, her husband had just died. There was a man of God, but he was owing so much money, the creditors wanted to take their two sons to be slaves. And the widow ran to the prophet. And that was it. That was the turning point. So I'm saying to someone here today, enough of the struggle. This conference marks the end of struggling. Amen. For someone struggling with human strength, with the human mind, you know, struggling with human ability, this conference marks the end of struggling. You will be amazed at how easy things are going to shift after now. Samuel said to Saul, before Samuel 10:1, anointed him, right? Anointed him, which is being supernaturally empowered, and told him, as you live here, you will meet some people that will tell you that the donkeys you've been looking for have been found. Right? Miracles have a way of avoiding someone that is not anointed. Someone that is not in perfect alignment with God's plan for their lives. And that's why people envy sometimes, because you just see what you're struggling and cracking your head to do, you'll see someone else do it with ease. And then you wonder, what's wrong with me? Right? Said you will meet someone that will tell you the donkeys you've been looking for have been found. We had that testimony from Brother Ike, right? They went to pastor, got the prayer, and then see the ease with which the job came, right? And it wasn't, invitation for interview. The first call was interview straight. And then the second one, you got the job. It's going to be that easy for someone. Amen. Somebody's financial situation is changing. Amen. And honestly, what you'll be wondering is, what did I do differently before? Oh no, the difference now is just grace. It will be the same thing you were doing before, same amount of effort, but now extraordinary results. Yes. So somebody says to him, he says, you will meet some people that will tell you the donkeys you've been looking for have been found. Isn't that amazing? Look at how much effort they put in. Mountains of Ephraim, land of Shalim, land of Shalisha, the donkeys were avoiding them. It had to be that, with all that effort. And now you are not even making any effort. The only thing you are doing is to go put your head where they can put oil on it, and the donkeys are repositioning themselves where they can be found. Something is shifting for someone here. Amen. Right now. Amen. I'm speaking prophetically right now that because you are here, something is shifting outside for you now. Amen. Something is changing. Your name is coming up in somebody's mind. Your face is coming up in somebody's mind now. Someone is making a decision now in your favor. Someone will get a sign in the next 24 hours. we've come into a season in Lofty Heights where someone will get a text message that will change everything. An email that will change your status. Why? Because we're now in a season of good news. So you will meet people that will tell you the donkeys you've been looking for have been found. So someone is going to deliver that message to you now. Someone is getting a mail, a letter in the mail. I said change of status. If that is yours, receive it. Don't place labor before grace. Prioritize grace. Prioritize God. Put God first. Put God first. Put hearing from God first. Hear from God first. John 5, 19 to 21, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing by himself, but whatever he sees the Father doing. For the Father loves the Son and shows him whatever he himself is doing. Easy. If you see me do anything, that's what Jesus was saying, I'm paraphrasing. The Father gave me video clips of it before. That's what he was saying. The Father loves me and he shows me. He shows me things. That was my experience after I got saved, filled with the Spirit of God as a college student. That was my experience. When I knelt down to pray, it would be like somebody pressed play in my imagination. And I would see things about myself. The most significant of what I saw was myself standing to teach like this. And it had to be from God, because it could not be a product of my mind. I'm an introvert. I used to be extremely shy. I did not like talking to people. So to talk to individuals was an issue. How would I then imagine myself standing before a crowd to speak? And the only time it happened was when I prayed. That was how I knew it was the Holy Spirit, because he designed our destinies and he can show you clips. Amen. He can show you clips. That's what Jesus said. If you see me open the blind eye at the crusade, I saw it before. The Father showed it to me. Of course, sometimes he shows it to us or inspires us or gives us the intuition on the spot. But Jesus was simply saying, if you see me do anything physically, it's been finished in the spirit realm. Somebody here is coming into alignment like that. I need you to be very sensitive now, very sensitive. Because when you wake up in the morning, it may just look like a fleeting thought. It may just be an idea. Honestly, make a phone call. Call this person, and that will be it. One of the wealthiest guys in our church said to me, when he was starting in real estate business, his first opportunity, he had to buy a property. He had no idea how to source the money. He needed to pay for deposit. It was quite a bit of money. He said it was while I was teaching in church. He said it just came. It just dropped like that. The names of four people, right? After the service, he just stepped outside the hall, picked his phone, called the first one. I need a loan from you of this amount. The guy agreed. The second one agreed. The third one agreed. The fourth one agreed. Money complete. Interest-free loans. Right? Just stepping outside because of the inspiration he got during the service. See, there's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Inspiration is the key to revelation. And what you get in an atmosphere like this is inspiration. Amen. Yeah. I'm always with my pen, you know. These days, it's actually my phone. I'm ready to type anytime. Any thought. If God brings someone to my mind, I call it supernatural pastoring. If God brings somebody to my mind, I just stop. I send a text message, right? There's one of our people like that who has homes both in Lagos and Atlanta. And that was that day. I was doing something else. It just came to my mind. I sent him a text message to check on him. And unusually, that was not enough. Right? I still felt the... So I sent a message to his wife. Now, I thought he was in Nigeria. So I sent a message to his wife to ask after him. The wife replies and says, sir, we're actually at the... He is at the ER right now. He's at the emergency unit right now. I replied and said, emergency where? in Nigeria or in the U.S.? She said, right here in Atlanta. I said, I did not know he was in Atlanta. He just came to my spirit. I sent him a text message. I did not wait for a reply because the urge was still there. And then checked with his wife. I call it supernatural pastoring, right? And he came through, fine. Okay? So I'm asking you to pay attention to the inspired thoughts that are coming into your spirit in the next few days. Amen? Amen. Don't place labor before grace. Put grace first. Number two, grace transforms your identity before it transforms your circumstances. Grace transforms your identity before it transforms your circumstances. And that's from the same verse, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's it. The grace transforms who you are before it transforms your circumstances. Because each of us is like a living magnet. You attract your value by time. If the magnet is not attracting what we want it to attract, we do either of two things. We either reduce the size of that thing until the magnet can pull it, or we put more power in the magnet. Most people reduce the size of their vision. When they try and find out they're unable to pull it, they're unable to attract, you know, what they're seeing in their vision, they begin to reduce the size of the vision until it is comfortable or convenient for them to achieve it. No. God wants to put more power in the magnet. Amen. So somebody here, you're going to attract people you've never attracted before. Someone here, you're going to attract opportunities you never attracted before. You know, God did not design for us to chase blessings. Goodness and mercy are to follow us, right? As we follow God. So that's one of the interesting things that's going to happen for someone here. You just find out what you've been chasing before will come to you now. Amen is not sounding right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So back to that story in 1 Samuel 10. After putting oil on Saul's head, Samuel told him some things will happen. He said, when you leave here, first you will get good news. Secondly, he said, you will meet three people going up to the hill of God. One of them carrying loaves of bread, one carrying wine, the other one carrying some lamb. He said, and they will greet you. I said, that's favor. He said, and they will give to you what they have. Grace for provision. No more struggles. Anyway, I jump to verse 6. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will be changed into another man. Grace will transform you first, will change you. Acts 20:32, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. So it's not the giving of inheritance first. It's building you up first. It's building you up first. It's maturing you first. Building you into God's character. Building God's capacity in you. You know what you need? Flexibility. The lack of flexibility truncates our development. When the Holy Spirit begins to ask you to do things you're not familiar with, to go to places you're not familiar with, to reach out to people or hang out with people you're not familiar with, to do things you're not familiar with, that's where we begin to miss him, because we think we can predict him. It's not easy, actually, to stretch like that, to do the unfamiliar. It's not easy. But that's where the growth is, where you have to step out of your comfort zone. One reason why a lot of people, you know, don't realize their potential is because they find it difficult to reinvent. Change is happening everywhere. Change is happening around you. And once the change happening outside overtakes the change happening on the inside of you, life will leave you behind. Many people, you know, allow their opportunities to expire, and they expire with those opportunities because they are not willing to be flexible. In Acts chapter 10, God decided that it was time for the Gentiles to get the gospel, and the first man to get it was Cornelius. And an angel appeared to Cornelius and told him about Peter. The man that will do this job is Peter. Isn't it amazing that there are things God wants to do and angels don't have the capacity to do them? We are the ones that have the capacity. The angel gave Cornelius the city where Peter was staying with someone, gave him the address of the house. And then Cornelius sent his servants to go there to fetch Peter. Before they got there, God saw that Peter was going to be a problem. Sorry, his mindset. And God decided to resolve that. So they said that God brought this large sheet down with all sorts of animals. The sheet was actually filled with the animals they were told not to eat under the old covenant, under the law. Then God told Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." What did Peter say? But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, slow down. For I have never eaten anything called unclean." What did God say? And the voice spoke to him again the second time. "What God has cleansed, you must not call common unclean." Interesting conversation. God says, "Peter, eat." Peter says, "Lord, you know, I have never eaten before." I paraphrase. God says, "Peter, who told you not to eat?" "Me." "Okay, I've changed my mind. We've come into a new season, a new dispensation in my program for the planet. I'm about to do things I have never done before. I need you to do things you have never done before. Peter, I need you to eat what you have never eaten before." 3 times. Then God said, "If I enough of this argument, there are some men at the gate right now asking for you. Follow them without asking any questions." Why? Because when Christ was here physically, he told Peter and the rest of the disciples, "Don't go into the houses of the Samaritans or the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Because Christ was functioning under the Abrahamic covenant. He had not gone to the cross and died. So he could only reach the Jews, the descendants of Abraham. And now Christ had died. He had resurrected. It was time now for the Gentiles to get the gospel. But Peter was not on God's frequency. I'm warning someone ahead. You will need to be flexible. You will need to do things. You will need to eat what you have not been eating before. Amen. Woo! So, back to 1 Samuel 10. Samuel says to Saul, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will be changed into another man." He said, "And when these signs have come to pass on you," he said, "do as the occasion demands." Come on. Adjust. If you've experienced poverty for a long time, that's what you know. Now, getting used to being rich can be difficult. I'm saying for someone, there's coming a new normal. All the bragging you were doing before, come on. How could I ever spend that kind of money on a dress? Just one piece of dress. I mean, just a pair of shoes. Can they be selling a pair of shoes for that? Shut up. Nothing is expensive. You only have people who cannot afford them. Woo! All those times you spent criticizing people that own private jets, now yours is around the corner. What are you going to do? So, but the starting point is in you. See, when I teach I'm conscious of the fact that some people will not be able to do what I'm teaching. Why? Because they have not yet become the person that can do them. It is the person. It is the becoming first. It's the becoming first. Being has to precede doing. Being controls doing, and then doing controls having. Now you want to jump to having without being. It's not possible. Look at that vision that you said God gave you. Look at that whole vision. The you in that vision is the magnet that will attract everyone and everything else in that picture. You've got to change into that person. And you need flexibility. The last 3 years have been stretched, almost 4 years now, stretched to my limits. Sorry, even beyond. Beyond. Benched in the US for almost exactly 3 years, when the longest I had ever been out of Nigeria before that, all my life, was 8 weeks. 8 weeks. And then I want to go, my wife and I want to go, the Holy Spirit says, stop. Stop. And I'm canceling bookings, canceling reservations, canceling tickets. And it's stop. 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 And it's like, oh my God. Stop. Listen, when you teach 40, 50,000, 60,000 people every weekend, you get addicted to it. It becomes a part of your life. It defines who you are. So it's like who you are has been taken away from you. When I ask the Holy Spirit, what is this about? What is this? So he said, I'm taking you through a death and resurrection experience. It's John 12, 24. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the way it is. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He said, the new you is going to be different. Because there's a new dimension and the old you can't handle it. He said, and you will drag this star with you through that experience. Everybody knows dying is not easy. So I knew it was going to be rough. Someday I'll share the full story. Not for today. Was very wrong. I died. I was deconstructed. But I knew it. So as we came into this year, the Holy Spirit said, that dying season is over. Your resurrection season is here. Right? That dying season included reading things about yourself on the internet. Some pure lies. And feeling like releasing a press statement is not true. Like how Pastor Sam Adeyemi, who used to say that Nigeria would change, moved with his abandoned his church and moved with his family to Canada. So I felt like releasing a press statement and say, it is not Canada, it is USA. Then I thought, what's the difference between the two? But this is the good news. Christ died on the cross, not just to give you some small amount of money or a house, but to change who you are, to give you a new heart, a new identity. Amen. Yeah. The number three point. Don't waste God's grace. And it's there in that verse. Paul says, and his grace toward me was not in vain. I like it. His grace toward me was not in vain. I did not waste that grace. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they also. Now that I have supernatural ability, I have talent, I have my giftings, anointed, awakened by God, I'm functioning in my zone. He said, now I will put hard work so that the results can be explosive. Amen. Don't waste God's grace. Israel wasted God's grace when they got to Canaan. It is faith that activates grace. Faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith? Faith is for God to transfer what he sees and knows about you or a situation into your heart and mind. And it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it is acting on what God said. That's it. calling yourself who God has called you, believing that you can do what he says you can do, and doing it, whether it makes sense or not. Lofty Heights, get ready to dare greatly. Amen.
Amen.
Get ready. Okay. When I say Lofty Heights, some people will dodge it or act like traffic wardens and direct it to somebody else. I'm talking to you. Get ready to dare greatly. Listen, Israel's identity changed just before they left Egypt. When God said, let each family kill a lamb and splash the blood on the doorpost, they were activating the covenant that Abraham had with God. That covenant changed Abraham's identity, you remember? Changed his name. And then gave him the capacity to conceive that miracle child beyond human ability. He conceived that child by grace. And now his descendants had been slaves 400 years. They had become idol worshippers. They had abandoned that covenant. For God to bring them out, they had to reactivate that covenant. That's why they killed the lambs and put the blood on their doorpost. Being a blood covenant, when Abraham caught that covenant with God in Genesis 15, Abraham and God became one. That's why his system could now be powered to produce that child beyond human ability. So the day they killed those animals, the Israelites and God became one. The chains of slavery fell down because you cannot enslave God. I'm telling you, the basis for their exit from Egypt was oneness with God. And that was why when they went to ask for gold and silver and other things, they got. It was not the slaves that went to ask. It was God. They had become one with God. So now jump to Numbers 13, right on the border of the promised land. And their leaders are saying, oh, we went to search out the land. It's like God said it is. It's too much for us. The land swallows up its inhabitants. In fact, the people that live there are giants. In fact, we're dead. In fact, when we looked at them, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so we were in their sight. You see that their thinking was not aligned with who they were in God. And then they lost the capacity to go, except Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, let us go up at once. God is with us. They are bred for us. Because they retained their sense of identity. Their sense of identity in God. Oneness with God. Yes, they look like giants. But all the same, God says, I have given you the land. He said, but they're giants. Their swords are so long. Their spears are so long. God says, fine. But I need you to take your small sword and to run towards them all the same. Then I will show up. Because that's when you will know it's not only you approaching them. It's me and you. And they won't see you coming. I'm the one that will show up to them. Amen. How come Israel was winning battles with nations that had established armies? A ragtag, a nation that just came out, new nation that just came, and they were winning battles. Because they did not fight their battles alone. Whenever they showed up fighting battles against any nation, angels showed up there. You read it in the Bible, you see sometimes God would even throw ice blocks, hailstones, right? On people. You won't fight alone anymore. I said you won't fight alone anymore. You need to dare. When I look at this facility and I'm inspired. Because that was what Pastor Wale did. It's beyond the capacity of this church, for a five-year-old church. Right? But daring to go negotiate for the property even when you don't have the money. Even when you don't have the deposit. If you've You see, there are people here who are at that level and they understand that is how it works. That is how it works. You sit down expecting, hey, the day I have money, hey, the day I have, excuse me. Your father, do you realize it was not God that created money, it is man that created money? Has that occurred to you? That people used to do trade by barter before, money has not always been in existence. When they got tired of carrying potatoes and yam all over the place to exchange, they created money to represent the value of the potatoes in the farm, right? So I see this funny equation. God created man. Man created money. Man now uses the availability or non-availability of money to determine what God can do. I call it foolishness 101. Read John 6 when you get home. Read John 6 when you get home. John 6 verse 5. Jesus asked Philip, where will we get bread to feed all these people? Verse 6 says, this he asked him to test him because he knew already within himself what he was going to do. So Christ already saw that crowd fed. He was just running a test on Philip. This guy's been hanging around me. Let's run a test on him. You students understand, right? You attend classes for one semester. They have to test you to be sure you were listening in class. Let me test this guy if he got it. Where will we get bread for these people to eat? Philip's brain went straight to money. He must have asked Judas, how much is there? 200 denarii. The denarii was the daily wage of the average worker. Right? Money. And then he comes and says, Lord, even 200 denarii of bread is not enough to feed these people, even if we give each one a little. The money was not enough. Well, summary, Christ fed that crowd. Am I right? He sidestepped money and fed that crowd. So I'm telling someone here, anytime God promises anything, promises me anything, asks me to do anything, I move. The money shows up. If he wants to use the money. I was asking him for a car many years ago. I was asking him for a car. Then I determined how much it would cost. Then I was asking him for the money. So he stopped me. He said, hold on. In the middle of prayer, he said, which one do you want? The car or the money? I had to think for a minute. What's the difference? Then I said, well, the car. He said, exactly, ask me for the car. Don't ask me for money. I can give you through money. I can give you the car without money. Ask me for the car. Go straight. Take your tiny sword and run towards those giants. So listen, nobody's going to give you money free of charge like that. You're going to be paid for solving problems. What I promise you is you're going to solve some rare problems. Amen. Ah, your amen is sounding like only two people got it. If you are thinking of the frequency of grace, that's when you will think you will need some sophisticated skills to solve some problems. No, because it is grace. You will just say what you think is normal and it will be solving big problems. That is how grace works. We had one plumbing challenge at our house in Atlanta. And it had been there, you know, I couldn't figure it out. I tried and tried and tried. And then I called this plumber guy. And then he came, he just touched this. And then just pump this, and then try it again. I said, hello. He too said, hello. So I told Pastor Nika, I said, look, some people do work with grace. That guy is anointed for what he's doing. He's functioning in the area where he should function, honestly. So that's how it will work for you. You will get there, the first idea that occurs to your mind, you'll do it, test it, and things will work. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Is someone ready to start a business?
Yes, sir.
Under the influence of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Is someone ready to go on national TV?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Your yes is going down because I'm stretching your mind. Stand to your feet with me. We're going to pray. This is going to be short, brief, with one verse of scripture. It's Psalm 44, verse 3. New King James Version, Psalm 44, verse 3. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance. Psalm 44, verse 3. We didn't fight for this land. We didn't work for it. It was a gift. You gave it, smiling as you gave it, delighting as you gave it. This is the prayer point. Just 1 minute. Lord, I receive my promotion as a gift. Somebody's getting a job as a gift from God. Somebody is getting property as a gift from God. Somebody is getting some contract as a gift from God. Somebody's marriage is coming as a gift from God. Somebody's baby is coming as a gift from God. Somebody's healing is coming as a gift from God. Financial breakthrough as a gift from God. I receive my promotion as a gift from you. I am not fighting for this land. I am not working for it. You are giving it to me as a gift. And you are giving it, smiling as you give it, delighting as you give it, celebrating as you give it. And you see me fulfill your will on this planet. Lord, I receive my shift to the next level as a gift. I receive the fulfillment of the prophecies that have come at FOG as a gift. And Lord, I receive courage so that I will not waste your grace. I receive courage. I receive courage. I receive courage so that I will not waste your grace. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I have spoken your words, not mine. Honor your words. You said that you watch over your word to perform it. I receive from my brothers and sisters grace to be doers of the word, not just hearers. I receive for someone grace for hearing with accuracy. The days of confusion are over. Your eyes are open. Your inner ears are open. You will hear God more easily now than ever, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. For someone, it will come in the dream. For someone, it will come while you are reading the Bible. For someone, it will come while you are praying. In the name of Jesus, the God that helps me, he will help you. And I prophesy that revelation that will announce your shift to a new level comes to you now. I cast out every spirit of fear. Fear that paralyzes action. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive boldness. Lord, I present everyone to you as an anointed solutions provider. The way Joseph had the answer and they had to fish him out of prison, I prophesy on everyone here, they will have to come find you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will not walk in vain. You will not walk in vain. Your results will be disproportionate to your effort. The results will be much bigger than your efforts. And the power of God will preserve you. FOG next year, your testimonies will be outstanding. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Can we pray with our pastors? When you pray for your pastor, you pray for yourself. Oil flows from the head. Thank you, Lord. Grace, that's what we're asking for, right? It's grace. Grace. We've seen this in 5 years, and I'm grateful that our brother said it earlier on. You've seen this 5 years. There's a whole lot more coming. I said there's a whole lot more coming. Their ministry is designed to be global in impact. This church is the kind of a church that I call governmental church, where God raises people that are established in the sectors that shape culture. Yes. Pay attention to that. The sectors that shape culture, from tech to education to entertainment to the economy, the sectors that shape culture. It's an apostolic calling. It's an apostolic calling. It's an apostolic calling. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we receive grace. Will you say a word of prayer? Just say a word of prayer. Lord, in Jesus' name, we receive open heavens and we receive fresh grace on our pastors. Thank you, Lord. I pray for my pastor, God of heaven, grace, that new dimension of authority to fulfill the mandate that you've given them, not for their own sake, but for the sake of us that you send them to. I pray for that new dimension of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, right now, I draw on the grace that you have placed on me to function in the apostolic office. And I came, Heavenly Father, to support, to strengthen what you have chosen to do through them. So right now, Heavenly Father, I ask, because there's a new season, and it's a season of multiplication, I ask for a new level of authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Authority over cities. Authority over nations. In the name of Jesus. Authority over sectors. Multiplication of impact. Multiplication of testimonies. Multiplication of influence. Multiplication of capacity. Enlargement of heart. As we go 10 times and 100 times more, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving him a voice. And when he speaks, the spiritual world will shift in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, thank you, Heavenly Father, for your daughter, mother of many nations. Her biological and spiritual children will possess the gates of cities, the gates of territories, in the mighty name of Jesus. And as she prays, that grace for greatness flows from her. And it manifests in her children, her biological children, her spiritual children, in the name of Jesus. And your power will preserve her to see the fulfillment of your prophecies in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in Jesus' name, the children, because your covenant is transgenerational. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, 3 generations at the same time. So I receive the grace for greatness on the children. And they excel. Their growth and development is perfect. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Because the Holy Spirit himself is their mentor. Amen. And they lead their own generation. Amen. For you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's appreciate our pastors. I want to say this quick prayer. If you are this honest person in this service who says, wow, I've never had it explained like this before, but my relationship with God is not okay. I can't be lying in God's presence. My relationship with God is not okay. I need God to forgive me my sins. If you're that, can we bow our heads for a moment and let's pray together, because that's what's most important to God in this whole service right now. So if you're that honest person, can you just put your hand on your heart? I want, Pastor, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. More than forgiving your sins, he will remove the nature of sin, put his own nature there. Remember, it starts from who you are. God bless you for your honesty. Now, if your hand is on your heart, I need you to say this prayer after me. Everyone else can sit down. Please remain standing if your hand is on your heart and say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Lord, you said there is joy in heaven among the angels when this happens. So we say thank you, because we know their sins are forgiven. And then, Lord, the nature of sin is removed from them now. And the Holy Spirit has put your nature in them. Heavenly Father, teach them to know you personally, to cultivate their relationship with you. Teach them to love you and to love other people the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do have your seats. God bless you. If you said that prayer, our pastor is going to give you instructions on what to do. But Jesus said, they throw a party in heaven when just one person does this. Can we join the party in heaven and just give God some... God bless you, and I pray this is one decision you will never regret the rest of your lives. In Jesus' name. One last prayer, and I take my seat. So yes, that prophetic word came yesterday, and I like the way Minister Peace described it earlier, that so all of us just became millionaires like that easily. Yes, it was a prophetic word that came yesterday, actually. But what I just did is to ask permission from Pastor Wale to pray with us. So I know we took our tithes and offerings earlier. I want to ask someone to join me. Basically, I love their values, the values of Lofty Heights. Love it, because Pastor Wale says, clearly, we don't preach exchange here. You give money, it will give you 1 million. I just want to activate the covenant. Because there was one day like that, when I didn't have a job as a college graduate and the future looked bleak, and I went to church to pray with my friend through the night. And we prayed in the spirit for about 30 minutes or more. And then each person sat down with the Bible. And the Holy Spirit led me to Genesis 22. And what he said to me that day came from the fact that he led Abraham to offer Isaac. And when Isaac was about to slash the boy's throat, he said, stop. I don't need the boy's blood. It was just a test. And because you obeyed me, he said, by myself, I swear, in blessing, I bless you. I mean, as an African, that just hit me. God swearing, you know, like we would say, to God who made me. Swearing. God saw. He said, what? Remember, I didn't have a job. The future was looking bleak. I was wondering what the future was going to look like. And then I saw God swearing over someone. I said, Lord, swear over me. Swear over me. So that I could enter my rest. So that I could have peace of mind about the future. He said, I don't have a problem swearing over you. But can I ask you to do what Abraham did? He said, oh, wait. So I went back to the Bible and said, the guy was about to kill his son. So I had to do some adjustments internally. Then I came to that point. I said, Lord, there is nothing I will ever have that you cannot have at any time T. He said, fine. There is nothing you will ever need that I will not give you to fulfill your destiny. He said, thank you, Jesus. So I began to tell people, I can never be poor again the rest of my life. Remember, I didn't have a job. So it was no money in the bank. Today when I say it, people smile. Of course, if you manage the one you have very well, you should not be poor. But it is not money in the bank. It is revelation in the spirit. So as I say this prayer, I want to invoke that oath on someone. It was an oath. I just want to pray with someone. Amen. Someone who will never struggle again financially. Someone who will find the fulfillment of God's promises over the next 1 year. Is that okay? And I'll just ask you to give whatever God puts on your heart. We're not in that business of give this amount. I'm giving something that's precious, but whatever the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you. I say this and I do this because you laid it on my heart. I don't know what it is that you want to do, but Lord, we had testimonies from your son, Dr. Akim Bobola, earlier in the service. So I thank you. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because someone here is buying franchises. Amen. Somebody is building a factory. Amen. Someone is owning massive real estate. Amen. That could never have been possible with their own ability. So I just ask, Heavenly Father, as each of us obeys you right now, do what is in your heart to do. Honor your word. Honor your word. And fulfill the prophetic promises you have pronounced over us today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lofty Heights. It's been amazing being with you this past few days. Love you.
We trust God that this ministration blessed your life tremendously. Do share your testimony and experience with us by emailing us at hello@myloftyheightsglobal.org. For more life-transforming messages from our ministry, please visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also stay connected with us across our social media platforms at My Lofty Heights. To give to our ministry, please visit our website. We love you, we honor you, and we celebrate you.